This is part 7. Today, actually, we're halfway through because I'm going to do 14 weeks. And you're like, wow, that's a lot. But part of that, and I covered this last week if you happen to miss it, is that what we're trying to do, and there's so much theology in Romans that helps us to see God in the right perspective, to think about God. And I shared this statistic. I don't have this up here, but 63% of Americans claim to have a biblical worldview, claim to be a Christian, but only 6% of those actually do. And so I gave you guys a test last week, if you had it, what does it mean to have a real biblical worldview? Because a lot of us, we have partial biblical worldview, but then we have our own worldview. And we kind of mix mash it together. But that is, what is a biblical worldview? It's a way of interpreting the world and making decisions based on God's word, the Bible, and his revealed truth. That is also known as a Christian worldview. Like I said, not everybody has that. So that's why we've been going through this. In the last 6 weeks, I've been giving you I am statements. And I want you to think about this because there's a method behind my madness here. These I am statements are beginning to hopefully form an identity of who you are in Christ. A lot of times people don't claim that, but first of all, I'm unashamed. If you're a follower of Christ, you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Like, people can't shame you because you are a believer, because you have Jesus. Amen. How many of you know we got something to be proud of? We're on the winning team. Amen. Living without excuses. That is a powerful breakthrough in your spiritual life when you can get past excusing all of your failures, all your, well, I was raised in this, well, I had that. No, we need to be done with that. Number 3, we talked about living by faith. Like, listen, that takes steps of faith. We're going to talk a little about that today as well. Week 4, I am made righteous. You're not righteous because of your actions. You're righteous because of what Christ did in your life, what he did in the cross. Amen? Week 5, I am suffering for a purpose. Some of you guys, I've had several people say they needed to hear that. If you haven't gone back and listened to that, if you missed that week, you got to realize that God will use purpose in the sufferings and the struggles you go through. And then last week, I am dead to sin. See, these are confessions that we need to make in our life to line our lives up with him. So we're in Romans 8 today. Actually, we're going to be in Romans 8 this week and next week. Literally one of my favorite chapters. I love the book of Romans is my favorite book. Chapter 8 is my, and you know, the guys that are, and people that are in Christ-like, I did a Bible study through the summer. We spent 8 weeks in Romans chapter 8. So I'm not going to do that to you guys, but we are going to be in it for the next 2 weeks, and I want you to get something out of it. So we're just going to jump right in, starting out, you need to memorize Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No condemnation. Why? Because through Jesus, or Christ Jesus, here it is, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So you need to understand there's two different laws that work in our life. There's only two, either the law of sin and death that I live under or the law of the Spirit of life. And we get to choose. There's new laws that our lives operate in. Like if you move to another country, how many of you know they've got different laws? Some of them may be similar, but like you move to one country and you got to drive on the other side of the road. You can't say, well, I still want to drive on the left side. You know, you're going to get in a crash. So we adopt different laws when we become a part of the kingdom of God. We're under a whole new set of laws and laws that set us free, not hold us in bondage. Amen. So he goes on to say in verse 3, for what the law, and this is talking about Old Testament law, was powerless to do in that it was weakened by our sinful nature. So you couldn't be made right with God through the Old Testament law because of our sin nature. It's like we could not fulfill that. And it says, but God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering so that he could condemn sin in a sinful man. Why? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according, here it is again, the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Amen. So, man, you know, you can meditate on this and really get a lot. It's one thing to listen to me, but going home, just like Pastor Colleen said, and allow that word to begin to marinate in your heart, amen? Verse 14, I'm jumping down, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons, and let me just say, daughters of God, okay? So here's the thing. I really want you guys to get this, because if you begin to understand following the Holy Spirit, I believe that God will bring victory into your life. And it doesn't mean that you won't ever have problems, but guess what? You'll have victory over those problems. Instead of those problems crushing you, guess what? We get to crush the problems. Amen. Because of what the Spirit does in us. So this is my I am statement today. I think you guys can get it. I am led by the Spirit. Amen. Can we say that one aloud? I am led by the Spirit. That is a declaration that we need to make. And I want to teach you today how to be led by the Spirit, how God can direct every decision in our life, and help us to miss and avoid the potholes in life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody run into potholes in life and it knocked your alignment out? Right? Their life is full of them, but I believe that as we follow the Holy Spirit, He can direct us like, ooh, there's a pothole. Let me miss that one, right? There's another pothole. Let's miss that one. God can direct us. And I think, you know, last week our young adults went to Bishop's Farm and went through a corn maze. And I understand there was a corn fight that broke out there. So people were throwing ears of corn. They were like, oh, yeah, people were throwing corn. I'm like, little corn? No, whole stalks of corn. Anyway, anybody ever gone through a corn maze? Look at that. Anybody ever get lost in one? Yeah, look at those hands that are up there. Listen, I think I've gone through it one time, but we went through it, and it's like you could kind of see through the rows. It was so easy to get through. But I do remember a time, and when we lived in Texas, we went to Houston, we went to Galveston, and on the beach, our kids were young, on the beach was this maze, and you could not see through the walls. And so they wanted to go through the maze, and it had like these little, this platform that was above, so we could look down into the maze and see where they were. So they were going, and there was all kinds of dead ends, and whenever they'd get to a dead end, get frustrated, we're like, hey, you need to go this way. You know, we'd be pointing which way that they needed to go, and you know what? Eventually, they got on the outside of the maze. They made it through. And as I was thinking about this week, sometimes our life is a maze. Isn't it? Like we don't always know exactly which way to go. We have decisions that hit us, and sometimes we hit dead ends. Like, this is not working out the way that I would. Wouldn't that be amazing if the Creator, the one that created this world from life, was looking up above, directing our steps on how to get out of that maze, to navigate this life, amen? How many of you know that's exactly what it means to be led of the Spirit? Amen. The Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us. And let me just say, it's a lot better life to travel with the Creator than try to figure it out on your own. Amen? Because some people never do. Some people never get out of the maze. And listen, many people get frustrated because of life, because of decisions they've made, because decisions others have made for them. But I want to tell you, and I believe this, God does not call us to live a life of frustration. Amen? I believe that. And so God had a plan. When Jesus came to the earth, He was the one leading and guiding the disciples and those that were following Him. But when He was about to leave, what did He say? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if I have this as a fill-in. The Greek word is parakletos, which means called to one's aid. So the Holy Spirit, He's not just somebody that lives inside of us that seals us for salvation. Yes, He does do that. But not only that, He comes to our side and He leads us and He guides us when we listen to Him. Amen? Look what Jesus said to the disciples when He was about to leave. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, He will give you another advocate, and what that means is one just like me, because He is still God. The Holy Spirit is God, right? And He says, He will never leave you, because Jesus was about to go back to the Father, but He says, He is the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth. Amen? He will lead you. Listen, if you're not following the Holy Spirit, you may feel like your life is a maze and you're in dead ends and you're running into corners and you're wondering, how do I get out of this? How do I get up? Maybe you need to call on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need direction. I need guidance in my life. Amen. So here's the thing. When you choose to be led of the Holy Spirit, it's a lifestyle change. Think about this. Everything changes. It's like, I've got it, but it's a better way of life. I mean, imagine like you're deciding what school, like you graduated high school, what school should I go to? And the Holy Spirit directs you in the right way to go. I mean, I had a scholarship at this one school, and I just did not feel like that was the right thing. And I'm really young in the Lord. And so I ended up going to this other school where I went and where I ended up meeting Colleen and, you know, all of that stuff. So the Holy Spirit, imagine the Holy Spirit leading you into right relationships in your life. Think about that. Imagine some of the people that the Holy Spirit could have kept you from had you listened to him. Come on, I know I'm speaking to somebody here today. A lot of times in life, we're like, ooh, that boy's cute, or ooh, that girl's cute. I think I want to date them. And you start dating them, and anyway, things happen, and the Holy Spirit is saying, no, don't go down that road. Oh, but I'm in love, you know, and then they're just so cute, and you get married, and, you know, a few years later, things blow up, and the Holy Spirit's like, I told you. But if we would listen to him, imagine the Holy Spirit in conflict resolution. Nobody has ever had conflict, right? Imagine if the Holy Spirit could navigate you through that. Because anybody ever have conflict resolution that never resolved? It's like, I can't call it that. I call it conflict blow up. Imagine getting into God's word and you find passage and you're like, oh man, God, I don't. But the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. Amen. Imagine if you were building a business or a company and the Holy Spirit directed you how to do that. What avenues to take, what doors to open, what doors to close. I mean, there are businesses that are success because they listen to the Holy Spirit. Chick-fil-A is one of them, In-N-Out, Hobby Lobby. Why are they successful? The ones that started them were led of the Holy Spirit, amen. Traveling through life, being led by the Holy Spirit. And let me just say, I believe this is a truth everybody needs to know. And I think a fill in your notes, everybody is led by something. Everybody. Something or someone. Right? Some of us allow other people to, and a lot of times we're led by our feelings, aren't we? Oh, I feel this and I feel that. Or desires. We talked about our evil desires last week. Man, being led by your evil desires, that's evil. Right? Because it's going to get guaranteed. Impulses, people, you know, we live in a day where there are social media influencers. Don't you like it? I'm here to influence you. I want to tell you, I don't want any person to influence me other than the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can take advice from godly people. I'll do that all day long, but I'm not going to let this world influence me. You know, when they're like, hey, we're going to endorse this candidate. I don't care. All right. We're going to do this. It's like, I want to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to be led of him. So before you become a Christian, guess what? We are led by our sin nature. And you can still be a good person and be led by your sin nature. It's not a matter of good. It's a matter of who you're following. But the reason we follow our sin nature, that's why we end up in dead ends. That's why we end up in frustration. Because you know what? We just can't choose right because we're being led by the wrong thing. We kind of go through life with this idea of like, okay, I'm at a crossroads, I got a decision, which one seems better? You know, and we make a list, okay, there's pros here, there's cons here, and we're gonna figure out which one outweighs the other, and you know what, if I got more pros here than this side, then this is the way I'm gonna go. How many of you have been taught to make decisions that way? All right, some of you guys have. Let me tell you, that's not always a good way to do it, because what you're basically doing is you're going by what seems like the right thing to do. You're going off a world evaluation. We don't know all the pros and cons to a decision. You only know a few. And I shared this last week, so I wanted to give you both verses. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, worded exactly the same. It says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Let me be honest here, and my hand is up. Anybody ever make a decision that seemed right and you found out later on that wasn't a good decision? That was not a good decision. So what do we do? If we're going to be led of the Spirit, how do we make those decisions? Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 answers it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend, or some of you learned, don't lean on your own understanding, but seek His will in what? All you do. Not just most of the things that you do. I've got to seek His will in all I do. And look, check it out. He will show us what path to take. It really is that simple. Okay, God, this is what seems right. This is what I feel like. This is what people are influencing me. But Lord, I want to put all that aside and say, God, You direct me. And can I tell you, God may direct you in something completely opposite of all of those other things. He may direct you into a thing that only had one pro and a bunch of cons, and you're like, but then you get in it because you feel like that's where God is leading you, and God opens up amazing things. Amen? Don't go by what seems right. My understanding in doing what seems right has only ended up in failure every time. Every time. Because it is being communicated to me by my sinful nature. By the worldly things. So you get lost in a maze. You're trying to figure out. That's why we need the Holy Spirit as a guide to guide us. The mark on our life. Listen, when you are led of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, people are will come up to you and like, hey, why is your marriage so good? Why are your kids so good? You know, how did you build that business so efficient? Like, why is it that you're so blessed and I'm not? And let me just say it. You can come back and say, well, to the best of my ability, first of all, none of us are perfect. I've tried to be led of the Holy Spirit. I've tried to allow Him to guide me and just obey Him. Here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit says to stop, I stop. When He says to go, we try to do that. God leads us into victory. So I want to teach you how to live a Spirit-filled life, but first I want to kind of start backwards. What happens when you choose to live a Spirit-filled life? What are the results of that? What are the results in your life? What does that look like? So where does the Holy Spirit lead us? Where are the paths that He is taking us? And number one, the Spirit always leads us to Christ. He always leads us to Jesus. If you want to get out of that maze of frustration, the Holy Spirit calls us out. And He brings us to Jesus. And listen, you may try it in your own nature. You may try it in your own ability. You're not going to be able to do it. Romans 8:3-4 says, for what the law... You know, the law was supposed to take you to Christ, right? It's supposed to take you to God. But it was powerless to do that because it was weakened by our sinful nature. But God did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So how many of you guys remember, like, when you first gave your life to the Lord? Maybe you were little, but some of you that were older, and you were, like, feeling this tugging on your heart. You're like, oh, man, I got to get my life right. I got to give my life to Jesus. Listen, that was the Holy Spirit calling you out. That wasn't some crafty preacher up there, like manipulating you. No, that was the Spirit. And that's what He does. That's why, like, even when we sin and you feel conviction, you're like, oh, man, I got to repent. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. And so He always leads us to Christ. He leads us to a place of knowing Him. And I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. He says, I don't want the world to define God for me. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me. Does that make sense? Isn't that good? I wish I could come up with that good of quotes, but here's the thing. There's a lot of people that know about God, but there's only a few people that actually know God. Amen? I want to know God. I want to know Him. I want to have relationship with Him. And listen, you're not going to get there by, okay, I studied all the Scripture and it's all in my head. You know, you can have a head full of Scripture and still not know God. Right? It's a relationship that we need, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. So, number two, He leads us to Christ. He also leads us to peace. Peace is an amazing thing to have in your life. What in the world? Is our world in chaos right now? Would anybody agree? Yeah. War is going on. I mean, just kind of craziness going on. We need real peace. Amen? We need internal peace, and I don't know, I forgot to set it up. I got a little clip there that's on that, if you can show that. Because when our world is blowing up, how many of you know we need peace? Some of you guys have seen this. All right, I stopped it right there because if you've seen the movie, it's in Pirates of the Caribbean, however you say it. It didn't end well for this guy, but I think the whole thing that I can go through while my world is blowing up, I can walk through with peace. And things are flying and people are like, how do you have such peace? It's like, man, I've got the Prince of Peace right here. I got Jesus on the inside, and even if everything blows apart, I can still have peace, amen? And I believe it's not just eternal, internal peace, there's external peace. You realize if you're going through drama and stuff going on in your life, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe all this stuff. I believe that we have the ability to speak peace to that, just as Jesus did when the disciples, they were in the boat. And it says that Jesus, he arose, rebuked the winds. And what did he say? Peace, be still. God can calm the circumstances of your life, right? If we are led of the Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, not just reveal Christ, but even to bring peace into our life. How many of you want to live that way? Do you know how much people would pay for peace? Right? They would like, hey, listen, what do you need? I just want that kind of peace. It's only available through Christ. And you're only going to get it as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you there. Verse 5 and 6 of Romans says this, those who live according to the sinful nature, they have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, they've got their minds on what the Spirit desires. So there's two things right there, right? What is my mind set on? And it says the mind of the sinful man leads to death. Let's mark that one off the list, right? But the mind controlled by the Spirit, check it out, is life and peace. When I have my mind and I'm following the Holy Spirit, I can actually have that peace, amen? Even though drama may happen, it's not going to affect me because I still have the peace in my life, amen? And I've had people ask, well, how do I know if I'm being led of the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. Isaiah 55 says this, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. We need to be led in peace. And if you're coming upon a situation or a decision and you actually bring it to God, I mean, here, let me just be honest here. Sometimes we bring to God something and we really don't want God's advice. We just want to say that we prayed for it. How many? Yeah, it's like, oh God, should I date this person? Okay, thank you. You know, I prayed about it. We got to wait for God to answer. And if God says yes, if he says no, if you don't feel a peace about it, don't do it. Amen? You're like, but it looks like such a good, should I invest money in this thing? Look, it's all doing good. If you don't feel a peace about it, don't do it. Amen? Step back. We've got to be led forth in peace. That's how you follow him. So number three, the Spirit leads us into holiness. And I'm just going to be honest, over 30 plus years of pastoring, I've met some people that can act super holy right here in church, even give you a word and all this stuff, and then act like the devil once they get out the door. Come on, I'm not even kidding. So it's like, what in the world is going on? I don't believe that the Holy Spirit just empowers us so that we can live a certain way because we got a microphone on stage. I believe that the Holy Spirit empowers us so that we can live a holy life throughout. Amen. On Monday, right? On Tuesday, on all of the days of the week. Look what he says in verse 12, Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. There's a warning there. But he says, but if you live by the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're going to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Right? All of those things that are not right, like I know nobody here struggles with an attitude ever. We've all had a bad attitude. I don't know about you, but I've had to put to death some of my bad attitudes occasionally. Right? It's like, oh, I got a bad attitude. Oh, and it's like, I got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, your Holy Spirit says that I can have victory over that. I got to put that thing to death. Amen. What about a wandering eye, men and women some, right? It's like, oh, man, you know what? Ooh, look at that, right? Listen, we can't make excuses like, well, hey, listen, I'm just a man, right? If we know it's wrong, we got to begin to say, okay, God, if I'm going to be led of the Spirit, I need victory over this. Right. Amen? Because if you don't get victory over it, I want to tell you, it will snowball into something worse. I'm not hurting anybody. What about having a foul mouth, right? Well, that's just kind of what I... Here's the thing. Do you realize cursing just simply becomes a habit? Sometimes people do it, and it's like, I didn't even realize that came out. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit can help you break a habit. Do you guys believe that? Yeah. Like, I remember, I always loved the story that that Bill Sokol would tell. He had a bad mouth, he said, when he ended up going to prison. And he's like, I'm trying to serve God. But he goes, these words would come out of my mouth. And I'm like, ah, help me, Lord. And so they'd be out there walking, and he'd have some word come out. And then he would just reel out, praise the Lord, you know. And these people probably thought he was crazy, you know. Is this guy bipolar or something? He's cursing one minute and praising the Lord the next minute. But what it did is it helped him break that habit. It helped him break that habit. So listen, the Holy Spirit can lead you to break the bad habits of your life. Amen. You can kill it. Just like the scripture said, addiction, I don't care what kind of addiction it is. I know that they're not, you know, some of the addictions, they're hard to overcome. I understand that. I understand that. But I want to tell you, if you're led of the Holy Spirit, he can help you break that. Amen. He leads us to holiness, a life of transformation. The next one, the Spirit leads us to understand what our new identity is. And like I said, that's kind of what we've been going on. The more that we are led of the Holy Spirit, the more that we begin to take on that new identity in Christ. The more we shed our old identity. Look what he says in verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, right? That's us, because we are led by the Spirit, right? He says, are children of God. You're a child of God, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. And then he says, the Spirit, look at this, I love this. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that what? We are God's children. The more you're led to him by the Holy Spirit, the more God confirms in us that we are a child of God. I mean, this is powerful stuff if you begin to grab it. He says, and if we are children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may share in his glory. So, man, that's an amen right there, right? That's good stuff. That's good preaching there, right? So, all right, next one. These are the things, this is what the Holy Spirit leads us to. He leads us to strength. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever been weak in their faith. Are weak and finding like, man, I just don't know if I can do this. The battle is overwhelming. I don't know if I'm going to find victory in this. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead you into strength. What does he go on to say? We're just going through the Romans here. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, right? We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. Now listen, that's a whole other teaching that I don't really have time to get into, but that's why we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is that we get a language where the Holy Spirit is praying through us, because I don't have the words. I don't have the words sometimes. Lord, I don't know. I'm in a situation, and I can pray whatever my mind thinks, but I need the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through me. Amen? Amen. All right, next one. The Holy Spirit leads us to our ultimate purpose. And I think everybody believes that God's got a purpose for your life, don't we? I mean, we're told that. We quote Jeremiah 29:11. Does anybody know that off the top of their head? Some of you guys. For I know the plans, says the Lord. Plans to prosper, to give you hope and a future. Right? Depending on what. That's a great verse to claim, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit will lead us that way if we follow him. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, if we allow our feelings, our impulses, other people to lead us, guess what? You can't quote that scripture. I mean, God does have that purpose for you, and you may be a Christian, you may love God, but you're still following your own path, right? The plans that God has for us are only intact as we follow after him. You can't go down two roads. You can't say, well, I love Jesus and I'm doing my own thing. You've got to begin to pattern your life and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you said no to this. And if I say yes to what God said no to, and if I say no to what God said yes to, then God's purposes are not going to happen in my life. Does that make sense? I mean, if you get off like all of us do, can I tell you there's always an easy path back on? Amen? There's always an easy path back on, and it's called repentance. Okay, God, I went my own way. I hit the roadblock. I got lost in the corn maze again. Lord, help me out. Amen? Let's look at the verse. Verse 27. He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. How many of you are God's people? All right, all of us. A couple of you didn't raise your hand. We'll have an altar call later. So I'm just kidding. So anyway, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to God's will. So the Holy Spirit is interceding for us to follow God's will. And so that battle sometimes looks like, let's use the dating thing again. Oh, that boy's so cute. Oh, God, let me get a date with him. Let me get a date with that girl, whatever it is. And the Holy Spirit is saying, Father, let him not make that decision. Help him to make the right decision. Help him to see that that's not going to work out for them. So the Holy Spirit is leading you into God's will. And we're like, okay, eventually you're like, okay, God, well, maybe this isn't a good idea. Maybe I do need to, okay, I'm not going to do it. And so you've allowed the Holy Spirit to intercede to direct you into God's will. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, so he leads us to our ultimate purpose. Look what the next verse it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those that love him who have been called according to his purpose. And so last week I shared with you a verse that people misquote. This is another one of those, because a lot of times we leave off that part that's highlighted there. People have bad things. Oh, God works all things out together for the good. And we stop right there. We put a period right there. How many of you know that's not enough? And even if they include this part for those that love him, that's great, but you have to go for those that are following, that are according to his will. That means I'm living and following the Lord. That means when good things and bad things happen in my life, if I'm following the Holy Spirit, God's going to use it, and he's going to take it, and he's going to use it for good. Amen? So let's not misquote that. The Holy Spirit is like the flashing arrows in traffic that direct us. And I just thought this was a good picture. It's like, don't take this lane, don't take that lane, follow this lane. And even when it doesn't make sense, actually a lot of times it won't make sense, we need to follow him. All right, God, this is crazy, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to follow you anyway. So this is, some of you guys I know like to take pictures, so that's all of them right there. That is why... That's where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He leads us to Christ. He leads us to peace. He leads us to holiness. He helps us understand our identity. He gives us strength. He leads us to our ultimate purpose. Isn't that enough to say, I want to be led of the Holy Spirit? Amen. I mean, make that decision right now. God, I want to be led by your Holy Spirit in every aspect of my life. Amen. Now, that sounds great, so how do we do it? This is where it's going to get hard. So how am I led by the Holy Spirit? Number one is probably going to step on some few people here. So how to be led, number one, is to release control. Ouch. Anybody like hearing that? I mean, can I have a moment of honesty? How many of you are control freaks here? All right, I mean, be honest, all right? Come on. It's like, I'm a control freak. Let me just say this. I see a lot of hands. It's just the reality, right? We love to be in control. I see more and more hands. You're finally giving it up. You're like, hey, I'm going to control. I'm not raising my hand. He can't control me. Now who wants? No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I like to be the one behind the driver's wheel. Anybody else like that? Like, I want to be the one driving, and that works out for Colleen and I, because she doesn't like driving. She navigates, and I do almost all of the driving, and I'm good with that. But here's the thing. Like I said, I think all of us have a little bit of control issues, and there has to come a time in our life where we can actually confess and say, you know what? My way is not better. My way is not better. And listen, I know it feels that way. You feel like that your way is better. But I believe we have the ability to give ourselves this false sense of belief that our way is better. It's a false sense. And it's not really until you say, God, I'm going to trust your way and that it's going to be better. Man, that is, it's really easy to preach this. I want to tell you, it's a little bit harder. And it's a daily practice. Listen, just say that with me. It's a daily practice. Say it's a daily practice. You got to make that every day. Because there's a lot of people that maybe you're facing problems in life, and you gave control to God back when you were 7 years old, and before you walked out the door, you picked it back up. And you never gave God control. Like basically, you know, last week I talked about, what was that song, Jesus Take the Wheel? You know, you gave God the wheel, but then once you got past the intersection, you kicked him back out and you said, okay, I'm back driving. Come on, you guys, listen, this happens all the time. People hit a crisis in their life, and all of a sudden, Jesus, take the wheel, right? You're like, that's not country. Hey, it's country western day, so, and then you're like, and people all of a sudden, I mean, that we've seen this over the time, they come back to God, they come back, I need Jesus, I'm in this tough thing, and then once they get past that time, you never see them again. Not until the next crisis comes along. Come on, how many of you know I'm telling the truth here? This happens. This happens all the time because we don't want to give up control. And when we do that, we keep finding ourselves in these things like, man, it's not working out like I thought it was going to work out. Because the reality is you're driving again. You're in control. You kick God to the curb on that, and now you're stuck back in that corn maze. How do I get out of this thing? Another chapter that Paul directs about being led of the Spirit is Galatians 5. And this is what he says, and I say, walk by the Spirit, you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. And again, there's just two options there. You got to make decisions in your life. Am I going to walk by the Spirit or am I going to walk by the flesh? Can I give you guys a couple of examples? That person that cut you off in traffic, was your response in the Spirit or was it in the flesh?
Yes.
I like yes to both of them, right? That post you made on social media, was that in the Spirit or was it in the flesh? Ow, social media gets us in trouble. The way that I responded, now some of you guys are going to duck your head. The way I responded to my spouse in that argument, was that in the Spirit or was that in the flesh? Right? I heard it. You just confessed it. You're going to be forgiven. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you. Amen. So we got to evaluate, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? See, this is not just like, ooh, I want to come to church and get my life right with God. It's a daily thing. Amen? So he goes on to say this in verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Check it out. They are in conflict. Those desires in your life, there's one side of you that's wanting to go back up to that guy that cut you off in traffic and cut him back off. And then there's the Holy Spirit saying, don't you do it. Just let him pass on by. And it's like, oh, man. I mean, you may need to bring Tums with you when those things happen. Amen. It's like, this gives me indigestion, God, because I sure want to follow my flesh right now, but I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit in that. Amen. Because they are a conflict. And guess what? Look what he says. And each other, so that you do not do what you want. This may be a news flash to you, but you don't get to do, if you're going to follow the Holy Spirit, you can't just do whatever you want. Ow. Come on. Let's be honest. So here's the fill-in in your notes. Surrender is a daily choice to let God lead. Every day. Okay, God. You get control. You get the wheel. You go out to your car of your life and you start opening up that driver's side just like, nope. I'm going to go back and get in the passenger side. I got to let you drive. Lord, I need to follow you. And listen, it's not just surrendering in these high spiritual moments like, oh man, I just feel God and I'm giving you control. It's every day of our life. Amen. Every day, Holy Spirit, I want you to leave me. So listen, and I believe this. I want you to catch this. When you learn to release control, that's when you're going to begin to see supernatural things happen in your life. Amen. When you begin to release control, then basically what you've said, it's like, okay, God, I'm not trying to fix this anymore. I'm going to allow you to fix this. Right? Like, you don't want me, if your engine breaks on your car, you don't want me fixing it. I can come and loosen bolts and stuff. But you're not going to get you. It's like, okay, Holy Spirit, you come and fix it. And we've been trying to fix our life, all of our lives. And it's like, Holy Spirit, I need you. But that means I got to take my hands off. Amen. So number two, I spent a lot of time on that one because that's a painful one. But this is important as well. If I'm going to be led of the Holy Spirit, I've got to watch and pray. Like it's a combination of praying with your eyes wide open. And I always joke, Pastor Colleen always says, when she teaches kids and she leads them in prayer, she does not close her eyes. How many of you know why? It's like praying with one eye open. Okay, because, you know, I don't know if you know this, sometimes kids are ornery. So you got to keep an eye open. But it's basically in the situations of life, getting in there and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do right now? I'm praying. What are you leading me? Is there somebody you're leading me to talk to? Is there somebody you're leading me to pray for? And I think the disciples failed miserably at this in the garden, didn't they? Like when Jesus said, will you watch and pray with me? And what did they do? They fell asleep, right? And Jesus sees this, and this is what he says. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And I believe that when there's something big happening, we got to be awake. Spiritually, we got to be awake, watching and praying. And if you notice in this story, when this happened, the disciples, while they were sleeping, guess who was active? The enemy was, right? The soldiers were. And I believe that the enemy always gains ground in our life when believers get disconnected from what God's called us to do. Are you thinking about that? How many of you have seen that in our nation? We back off and the enemy gains ground. And we're like, how did that happen? Because something, believers, we missed it. We weren't watching and praying. And one of the things that I want to encourage you, every Thursday we have a Thursday night prayer. And we encourage you to come to that. This is not just about, okay, you know, and there's usually, what, 10, 12, 13 of us. It fluctuates in there. This week it's on Halloween, and because we know a lot of people don't want to drive around, you know, when kids are all over the street, we're actually going to change that. Imagine this says Wednesday night prayer. So we're doing it Wednesday night. But the reason is because how many of you guys know what's happening in a little over a week? There's an election. Now, let me say, as when it comes to eternal things, God can work with whoever gets elected. Right? That's whoever gets elected is not going to thwart God's plans, but I think it's an important thing for us as believers to watch and to pray and to begin to ask for God's intervention. And I'm not just talking about president. I'm talking about Congress, Senate, I'm talking about school boards, all the way down. It's like we have the ability in this country to have our voice heard. Not every country gets that. So it's not just like, hey, make sure you vote. I want to encourage you, make sure we pray. Amen. So this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, we're going to gather for prayer. And I want to just encourage you, if you can make it, please come and let's spend some time in prayer and ask for God's leading. Amen? Amen. So the next picture I want to show you, it's a road sign. Some of you guys don't have any idea what this thing is. But it's called a yield sign, okay? So this sign does not mean just go through the intersection quickly because it's not a stop sign. You get that, right? It literally means to pause and give way to anybody else coming, because if you're on a road and you just kind of barrel through this, how many of you know something bigger may be coming? Right, something that may not, you know, that may run over you. And in this life as a Christian, we have these times in our life where we're just kind of bebopping along and we're not watching and praying. Maybe you've given God control, but we need to pause in our life and give way to God, spend some time in prayer, because something bigger may be coming that you didn't see. Sometimes life blindsides you. I don't know if you've ever been blindsided, but I want to tell you, when you are watching and praying, those things still may come, but guess what? They're not going to take you out. Amen? God, you know, you may ask, God, why do you have me here? And I believe that we have missed moments in life because we don't yield and pray and watch. We miss these things. So here's the fill-in on your notes. There's a God-given assignment in every environment. If you begin to understand that, Like you're in the hospital, you know, you're wherever, and you're like, okay, God, why is this? You can either get frustrated over the situation, or you can just begin to say, okay, God, I'm here for a reason. So God, if there's someone you want me to talk to, if there's someone you want me to encourage, if there's something you want me to do, Lord, let me not miss this opportunity. Amen. So how to be led of the Lord, release control, watch and pray, and then we've got to take risk, right? How many of you know following the Lord takes risk? It really does, because so often, because we've lived a life being led by our flesh, that's kind of natural for us. That feels normal. It feels right. Oh, yeah, this is what I want to do. I'm just going to go that. So when the Holy Spirit begins to communicate something to us, and it's not really clear, it's not something common, it's not something we normally do, and we don't understand it, what we usually do is we step back and we don't do anything. Because it's like, well, that's weird. Why would God want me to do that? And I just want to tell you, most of the time, if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something that doesn't make sense, it's probably God. All right? Most of the time, because people can get weird with this. But I've had people come up and say, you know what? I feel like God wants me to give that person some money. I just don't know if it's God or not. And I'm like, well, does your flesh normally like giving away money? You know, like, I mean, anybody like, man, I just want to give away my paycheck, right? That's not normal. And so if it doesn't make sense, it's like probably God. I've had some, you know what, I came on this thing and I really felt like God wanted me to pray for that person, but I didn't know if it was God or not, so I didn't do it because I thought it was a little weird and it was an awkward situation. And it's like, well, does your flesh usually ask you to step out of your comfort zone and do things like that? No, because that's God. That takes a risk, doesn't it? If you're going to see some of those things, we've got to actually step out in faith. And we read this out of our men's Bible study last Friday, James 2. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. That means we got to actually do stuff with our faith. Like, I'm sure I could tell everybody here that, how many of you believe that God still heals people today? Supernaturally. Like God can heal you in an instant. I mean, we believe that. So let's say tomorrow you come upon somebody and maybe they're limping or they got some kind of a cough and you're like, wow, you know what? You look like you're in pain. Hope you get better. And the Holy Spirit may be saying, well, you said you believe today that I can still heal. How many of you know you got to actually take a risk? Say, hey, can I pray for you? And let me just encourage you, don't walk away, and they say yes, and you walk away and say, I'll pray for them later. Because I don't know about you, I've said that to people before, and I forgot. I'm just being honest. Do it right then. Do it right then. Don't make it weird. You don't have to start praying in tongues over somebody and freak them out. Just begin to pray. Say, God, I pray that you would heal this person. I pray that you would intervene. Amen. Because it takes action. Now, I'm bringing my cup back out because I told you guys a couple of weeks ago I used Timothy as an example, and my wife harassed me because she said, you said he's not athletic. I said, no, that was not his favorite thing. He ended up, you know, going more into music. So I want to redeem my story about my son by using him in my sermon again, and my daughter-in-law. Is she in here? She may be out there with a horse. I don't know where she is. So anyway, and it concerns when we came here to Freedom Church. You know, we were pastoring in Chico. Timothy was full-time there. Stephanie had a full-time job there in our preschool. They were pregnant. They had a 3-bedroom duplex or townhome that they had. And, you know, it was comfortable. It was good for them. And when we started feeling like God was leading us here, you know, they were past the age of like when they had to follow us. Now it was they're adults, so they got to make their own decision, right? And, you know, we talked about it with the board here. The board was able to offer him a part-time salary. Stephanie's pregnant. And we're like, listen, you guys got to pray about that. This is where God wants you to come. Let me just say, there were voices back in Chico that said, you don't have to go. You can stay here and get your full, just because your parents are going, we'll pay you full time. You'll keep everything and you'll get your house here. Well, because they were getting part-time salary, that meant that they had to move back in with us. Just exactly what every 30-year-old wants to do, right? Sometimes, it's okay, but here's the thing. They prayed about it. They felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to come here. And listen, there was no guarantee that they would ever get any more money. There was no guarantee that they would ever get a place of their own again. But I believe that because they stepped out in faith, God blessed that. Amen. And I believe God blessed the board at that time too, because they weren't looking to hire more people. They were looking for a pastor. Yeah, and they ended up getting Pastor Scott, Pastor Colleen, and Pastor Timothy. And so you remember that, Sandy. She harassed me on that. So I tried to say no, and she said, why? And but that's okay, because I believe it was a God thing. So God honors those steps of faith. No matter which side of the aisle it's on, you got to take that. And I believe this. Listen, this I want you to get to this. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, too powerful, and our salvation is too significant for us to live life and play it safe. I know we like to play it safe, but can I tell you, there are souls on the line. There are people's lives that are on the line that we can't just live our life in the safe zone. Listen, the Holy Spirit may lead you tomorrow to help somebody. That might be a seed of the gospel. The Holy Spirit might lead you to give something, maybe some money like we were talking about. That may be a seed of the gospel. Don't just give them $5, $10 or whatever and not give them Jesus. So throw a seed in. So the Spirit might lead you to pray for people. I mean, listen, I heard someone say one time that the Holy Spirit, the reason God calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter is because God sometimes leads us into uncomfortable situations. That's why you need the comforter. Oh, God, this isn't comfortable, so I need you to walk through this. And listen, I don't know what steps of faith you need to take, but I know getting plugged into a church, how many of you know that's a step of faith? You got to get committed. Being vulnerable in a life group, that takes a step of faith. Sharing your story, a lot of times we don't like to share our story. That's a step of faith. Inviting somebody, tithing. Anybody ever remember that? Like, oh man, that's a step of faith. Some of you guys are still on the line on that, but that is a step of faith. And it's not just a step of faith to do it once, but it's a step of faith to keep tithing even when it's difficult. Amen. Right? It takes faith to become a generous person. Listen, it takes faith to forgive other people. I don't want to. You got to do it. Faith, like I said, is spelled R-I-S-K. You got to take the risk. It takes faith to get baptized. We got a couple of guys getting baptized this next week. So listen, if you haven't been baptized, then you got an opportunity next week. But it takes, you know, because we've had people like, well, I want to get baptized, but I want to be in front of everybody. Can we just find a bathtub somewhere and you do it there? No, it is a step of faith. I'm making a bold proclamation that, listen, I've given my life to Jesus. So if you have felt stagnant in your faith and you feel like you're running in corners and you're running into dead ends, maybe it's because God is asking you to do something and you've said, I don't know about that, Lord. I don't know about that, Lord. So it takes faith. But number four, real quick, rely on God's power. Putting yourself in environments where you have to rely on God. This is huge. We're basically, if God doesn't come through, there's no way this is working out. There's no way. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says this. God said this to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in what? Our weakness. Isn't it funny? We like to list our strengths. What's your strengths? And you start listing off all your strengths. Well, good job. God's not going to work in that. What's he going to work in? Our weakness. Therefore, he says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Amen. This is a life of faith. I believe a life of faith really is an adventure. And yeah, it's scary at times. It's like, oh man, I don't know. Is this going to happen? Anybody ever been on the verge of like, God, if you don't come through, it's all crashing down. And God comes through. Here's the feeling. A life of faith, lives I can't even read. I feel like utterly dependent on, and I wrote that, so dependent on God. Failure is inevitable without his intervention. Amen. Aren't you glad I'm just real, right? And so without God's intervention, I'm just moving on. Last one, number five. Give God the glory. Amen. Always give God the glory. Listen, when God does something and the breakthrough happens and maybe you prayed for somebody and they got healed, make sure you give God the glory, because I think the worst thing that we can kind of do is like, wow, look what I did. Right? Like, oh man, that was really good, you know? And you might break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back, like, man, you're really gifted. You know, people come up, and let me, I've shared this story numerous times with some of you. Maybe you haven't heard it, but when we were pastoring in Texas, little church, 30, 40 people, never really been much bigger than that. And after a couple of years, the church kept growing and growing. We ended up having to build another building. And I remember this man coming up to me, and he was just oozing all over me. Oh, Pastor Scott, you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing a great thing. And with my mouth, I was giving God all the glory. Like, oh, yeah, this it's God, you know. But what I didn't realize is that on the inside, I kept a little bit of that for myself. And come Monday morning, after that great weekend, man, people are all happy. It's all exciting. They're recognizing the gifting in me. And I'm mowing my lawn in the front yard and just rejoicing over the great things God is doing. I remember it wasn't audible, but it might as well have been. God said, you know what? You enjoyed that just a little bit too much. And our house was on a corner lot, and I'm mowing right in the front. There's cars that are going by. I just had to fall on the ground and say, oh, God, forgive me. God, I don't want to take credit for the things that you're doing. If God used, and let me just say, there is a thing called fake humility. Other people may hear your words. Oh, he gave God all the glory. But on the inside, we're hanging on to it. And when you don't learn to give God the glory, I want to tell you, it's going to be more of a setback. I don't want to take the glory. I don't want to take it. It all belongs to God. If anything good, and sometimes you go, oh, Pastor Scott, that was a good message. And I don't mind that because I don't harbor any of it because it's God's word. It's God's word, and I don't keep any of it anymore. I don't want to have to get down on my knees again with the cars driving by and like, I'm giving God the glory, amen. So last thing, and we're getting ready to wrap this up. Oh, well, there's the verse that I didn't read. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. Don't let your head get big. Amen? Provoking and envying each other. But the last fill-in, God calls us to do things that are beyond our ability so that he will get the glory. Amen? This is a life of being led for that by the Spirit. There are no corners that you can cut. You can't, listen, you can't keep control and not take risk and expect to be led of the Holy Spirit. You got to walk through all of that. I don't have all of it up there, but you got it in your notes. And so my encouragement today, listen, if you need prayer, we'll have an opportunity for that. But this is one message that you got to take home and kind of digest it a little bit, isn't it? You got to take it home. You guys got sermon notes. Take it home and just begin to ask God, God, am I being led of your Spirit? Because if you're not, it really is help. You know, maybe you're struggling with the control thing. I saw a lot of your hands up, right? So, like, okay, God, this is not going to be easy, but Lord, help me to begin to live with my life's open instead of hanging on. All right, help me to, Lord, begin to watch and pray. Lord, help me to be aware of the surroundings and the things going on. Lord, help me begin to be active in that and take the risks that are needed. Lord, help me to make sure that I'm relying on your power because I can't do this in myself. So take it home and allow it to meditate. I'm done with those words. So let it get on the inside, right? So Lord, I just thank you right now. Lord, I thank you right now that you gave us your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us through this life, this minefield of life. Lord, through the maze of life. Lord, you do have a purpose for us. Lord, I do believe Jeremiah 29:11, Lord God, that the plans that you have for us, Lord God, are for good. But Lord, if we're honest with ourselves, we've been walking the wrong way sometimes. Sometimes we've been taking the wrong path. Sometimes we've been charting our own course. So Lord, where we've done that, Lord, just forgive us, I pray. Just tell the Lord where you're at. If you've been walking your own path, even though you may be saying you love God, then just tell him, like, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I need the guidance. Help me to be led by your Holy Spirit. I believe that as you do that, the victory that you've been looking for. And you know, I love the God gave Pastor Colleen that word earlier. God wants to do a breakthrough in your life. Can I tell you that breakthrough happens as you yield your life to the Holy Spirit? and you allow him to begin to do a work in your life. And I believe that he will. So Lord, I just thank you right now. Lord, I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you that your way is better. Lord, your way is better, not my way. Lord, I don't want to live by the my way or the highway attitude anymore. But Lord God, I want to live by your way. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can trust you, that we can lean on you, and that you will direct our paths. And so, Lord, we just commit this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.